episode 1713, My Strength is My Story with Rodney and Michelle Gage, Family Shift.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at
a stop sign, happy every day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us in the house a power couple, Rodney and Michelle Gage. And oh my goodness, they are so adorable. You are going to love them. We're talking about families. We're talking about marriage. Let's talk about love. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Rodney and Michelle's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, I got to give you a warning. We had a little bit of some technical difficulty. So at the very beginning, for the first few minutes, you may hear some raspy type noises. It's okay. Hang in there. You're going to love it. So you're going to want to stay tuned. I promise you it gets better. But you know what? It's a love-hate relationship with technology. Rodney and Michelle, though, bring their heart. And we talk about marriage. We talk about what it's like to drift. Have you ever been out in the ocean and you go out there and you think you're at one point, but then you turn around and you notice that you have drifted far away? In our relationships, in our marriage, in our families, we can drift. But in order to live with greater intention, you got to be willing to make the shift. Are you willing to do that today? Well, let's dive in. Without further ado, let's welcome in Rodney and Michelle Gage, Family Shift. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Oh, I'm so excited. You know what though? I have to watch my mouth. Oh no, I don't have to watch my mouth. We've got two pastors in the house with us today, Rodney and Michelle Gage. They have been married for 28 years and they have three beautiful children. Their two girls are actually married and one just got married this past June. And their son, Luke, has just begun his college experience in August. Rodney and Michelle are the founding and lead pastors of Rethink Life Church in Orlando, Florida. For over 25 years, they have devoted their lives to helping people live life on purpose through full-time ministry. Now, Rodney is a speaker and author of 6 books, but soon after those 6 books, oh yeah, he grabbed onto his wife and they wrote a book together, Rethink Life, How to Be Different from the Norm. Plus, they have a 40-day devotional companion that can be viewed and enjoyed on YouVersion Bible app. And now, guess what? I've got some great news. They gave birth to a brand new book, Family Shift, the 5-step plan to stop drifting and start living with greater intention. Welcome, my friends, brother and sister in Christ. How are you?
Great.
We're awesome. Thank you so much for having us. It's a real thrill to be with you today.
So excited to talk to you.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, I've already read your book, and we're going to make a few shifts through here. We've already been challenged by technology, and that's okay. We're taking a deep breath and we're just going to settle in. So I got to ask both of you, what brings you joy?
We're supposed to use the old school joy acronym, Jesus Others You. Is that it?
Hey, that works too.
That's right. Our family brings us so much joy. Our kids bring us joy. We have, like you said, we have two new son-in-laws as well. Our family's expanding, and our church family brings us so much joy as well in our life. We've been truly blessed.
And what brings me great joy is we finally got Disney passes.
Now that's right.
Now that we're officially empty nesters, we can now afford to go to Disney World.
That's right. Nobody's complaining. We get to go.
Yes.
Amen to that, man. I can feel your pain. We have 5 children. So going to Disney World is like, oh my gosh, it's like a life savings.
Yes.
That's true. That's true. Oh. Do it when you're an empty nester.
Yes. Well, speaking of empty nesters, you all are going through a shift in your life.
Yes,
we are.
You're really just beginning that. But what has been kind of the most maybe nerve-wracking thing that's happened that you're like, okay, I just got to take a breath and I got to breathe and I got to let Jesus take the helm?
I don't know. They seem to be doing well. The kids are doing well. I think it's mom that has the challenge more so than the kids. They're thriving. They're having the time of their lives. But it's just those moments when you sit down in their bedroom, just sit on the bed, crying because you miss them so much. But you have to trust God that He has a great plan. And we've done all we can do. We've planted the seeds and we're sending them off. And we're so excited about this time of life for them as well.
Yeah, and the great thing too about technology is you have the opportunity, to stay in communication and with FaceTime, and we have a little family group text with all of the kids, son-in-law, so we're all connected, and so we are always communicating, whether it's a text message and a text thread, or whether it's through FaceTime. We always just carve out time to make sure that we're in the know of what's going on and just celebrating, each milestone and accomplishment. So we get to be the cheerleaders from the sidelines.
That's right.
That's a great position to be in for sure.
It is.
Absolutely.
Well, because we have you both here, I have to ask just the normal question, in my opinion. You got to tell me how y'all met. What's your brief love story?
I'm going to let Rodney tell that one. He's so good at it. I got to let him.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, how long is this interview?
We can go forever.
This is the brief one.
So here's the Cliff Note Wikipedia version. I'm the youngest of four boys. Michelle's the oldest of four girls. And so our dads actually go way back. So they've known each other for a long, long time. So the short end of the story is we were actually set up on a blind date by our parents. And so we met and through this blind date. So I actually flew. I was living at the time in Texas, there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I caught a flight to Oklahoma City, where Michelle lived. That's where her family lived. She was actually in school in Shawnee, Oklahoma. At a school called Oklahoma Baptist University, OBU. And I was in seminary at the time, living in Fort Worth. So I caught a plane, never seen her, had never laid eyes on her, hadn't even seen a picture or anything.
This is before Facebook and Instagram.
Yes. So, but my three older brothers had met Michelle. And so because I looked up and respected my brother's opinion, I said, "What do you think?" And they said, "It's a no-brainer. You need to capitalize on this." And I also heard that she was in the Miss Oklahoma pageant. So when I heard that, I knew she had some potential. So I flew to Oklahoma City, and when I got off the plane, this was back in the day where, people could actually, be right there. So I'm walking out of the tarmac there, and I'm looking around, really didn't have a clue as to who I was looking for. And so I see this good-looking girl, and I was thinking I was saying under my breath, "God, please let it be her." And sure enough, it was her. And so when I approached her, she introduced herself, and of course I said, "Wherever you lead, I'll follow." So we went to the baggage claim, and I saw a man dressed up in a tuxedo, and I saw a beautiful lady beside him and three little girls. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, who are these people? Come to find out it was her dad, and he was a pastor. So I thought maybe he just got through doing a wedding or something. He was dressed in his formal attire. And then I see this lady and these girls, and come to find out it's their whole family picked me up. But we go out to curbside, and there's a white stretch limo at curbside waiting on me as I got off the plane and walked out the baggage claim. So
it was a great first date.
And that's a whole nother story in and of itself. But long story short, that's how we met.
That's right.
Oh, how sweet. Okay, we could just stop there. We don't need to talk anything more about family shift. That's awesome. Well, when you all were dating, did you ever think you would be serving families in this capacity that you are now?
I don't think so. I don't think so. When we were dating, we were thinking we're going to go off and change the world, reach the world for Jesus. I was singing, he was preaching, and we were focused on just reaching people for Jesus. And it's awesome now that we're we've gone through this parenting phase, you know, 24 years of parenting and 28 years of being married, to now have that story and that testimony to reach people for Jesus in a whole new way than we ever really dreamed of 28 years ago.
Yeah, my thought and perspective wasn't necessarily that this would actually be a part of our focus now, the season in our lives, but even then, I always had a heart for young people.
Yeah.
So after speaking to youth for nearly 15 years, little did I know that time or season in my life would really help us, not just in raising our own children, but obviously now as a pastor and working with so many families, now all of that's come back full circle, so that we have the opportunity to really take everything that we've learned, everything I've been exposed to, everything that we wish that, you know, we would have either experienced or wish that we could help other people experience. Now we have the opportunity to piece all of that together to really help bring, I think, what we like to call hope and how-tos to a lot of families who desperately need it.
Oh, for sure. I think even nowadays, more so than when you all were growing up, because we have children around the same age, so we're very much in that, you know, same family. What's crazy is that with social media now and how people are connected yet so disconnected, we do need almost more hope and more how-tos, yet we're still supposed to be connected. I don't get it. Let me ask you this, Michelle and Rodney. What do you think social media is and how it's playing an effect on marriage?
Social media is an awesome tool. You know, it's a great invention. It's a great tool. If we use it to learn and to glean from, you know, and if we choose the right voices to speak into our life. But it can be such a challenge when people are, you know, comparing themselves, or, you know, why can't I have that kind of marriage that's on a highlight reel that you're seeing on somebody's social media account? It's not even real. The reality is, we don't want to put our worst out there. We're going to put our best out there. And it's challenging because we tend to struggle with identity in our culture today. Our young girls, you know, they're struggling because of what they have to compare their lives to and what is not even real. So as far as the marriage is concerned, I think it can be the same challenge. You know, if you see only the good things that are happening in somebody's marriage and you don't see the challenge that maybe the struggle that got them to that good place, and just talking about those things can be a challenge.
Yeah. And I think the other, you know, it's kind of, social media is a double-edged sword.
It is.
So, you know, there's the side where there's great benefit and all of that. But the other side of that is also a massive destruction. Excuse me, not destruction, it's distraction.
Right.
Because the distraction, as far as just the time and the attention that it takes away from each other and each other as a family, and just really fully being able to just stay focused and engage with one another. You know, it's easy to be heads down, just, you know, passing time of just scrolling through this or reading that, when, you know, that competes with just your focused time with each other. So, and I think that's the subtle trap sometimes we fall into. And it becomes addictive.
Yeah.
You know, I think we don't.
Studies have been.
Yeah. Studies have shown.
It's addictive. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole.
The endorphins.
Yeah. The endorphins and dopamine. You know, there's something that triggers that mental and emotional euphoria, if you will, when, you know, somebody's commenting on something we've posted, or we notice that, you know, we got another like, or somebody, you know, said something positive. Well, that kind of feeds our ego. And so we're always looking again to, I think, sometimes things that we think will make us fulfilled, or think that somehow it's going to maybe draw us closer together. But sometimes those things can actually create a wedge and actually cause us, and as we talk about in the book, really can cause us to drift. Mm-hmm. And it's subtle, but yet we're being preoccupied and distracted by other things, rather than allowing each other to be the primary focus and priority.
Well, I want to take a shift here and talk about your book, Family Shift, specifically. Where did the heart of this book come from?
Well, I did a series of talks around this thought about 2 years ago, and it really was well received in a way that I'd never really intended it for it to be. I hope all the things I do will be well received. But it really seemed to kind of strike a nerve with a lot of families, and specifically, you know, couples and parents, because I just simply took literally the last 28, 30 years of doing what we've been doing, you know, as a married couple and as parents, but also even in the context of ministry that we're in. And I just said, you know, if I could just boil it all down to five things, I mean, this is what I would sit down and tell any couple, any parent, any family, if you'll just focus on these five areas, you're going to be okay. And it was very practical, down to earth, nothing, you know, revolutionary here. But I think it's the five things that if we will just commit to these things, it will take all of the complexities and the confusion about all the things that sometimes create a lot of stress, because parents have a tendency to want to control everything. We want to insulate our kids and protect them from everything. And so a lot of times we are almost more reactive than we are proactive. And so rather than being on the defense, let's just be on the offense, and let's take a positive approach and really take an approach that will allow the family to actually win in the end in a way that God intended.
I love that. And when we know that we have to make a change, that means we have to realize and acknowledge that there's something going wrong. And in that, you call this within your book, the drift. What is drifting in a family, drifting in a marriage, and how do you know if you're even there?
Yeah. Well, we actually give some warning signs in the book related to really just how you know, like, because it's subtle. You know, it's like, you know, it's literally like when you're out in the ocean. I often use an analogy of like, if you've ever been, you know, body surfing, of course we live in Florida, so we're used to this, but you know, when you go to the beach, you're body surfing and you're just getting caught up in the waves and you're having a great time. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you look up on the shore and you're expecting to see your, you know, your lounge chairs and all of your beach stuff. And you're like 100 yards away from where you entered the water. And you think, what in the world? How in the world did we end up so far from where we entered into the water?
It's always shocking.
So, yeah. So it's that drift, and it's that current that suddenly we got caught up in, and it took us further away from where we started, and we don't even realize it. And so that's what happens in a lot of marriages. You know, there's not a single couple that walks down the aisle and says, all right, let's make a deal. 12 months from now, we're going to go our separate ways. That's never their intention. Their intention is to live happily ever after. But yet, down the road, when, you know, careers come into play, children come into play, all the stresses that go with life suddenly begin to compete. So they begin to interfere with what could be or should be, and what maybe we originally intended to become. And then all of a sudden, couples or even families will find themselves in a place and they'll think, how in the world did we end up here? And why are we in this place, and how do we get out of it? And what happened is they found themselves drifting without even realizing it. So that's where we really want to help couples and families really not just understand what the drift looks like, but what do you do when you have drifted away? And is there a shift that you can make that gets you back to where you desire to be as a married couple or as a family? So yeah, so we identify some, you know, really just some warning signs. And those warning signs could be, for example, just the whole aspect of discouragement. So you have discouragement, you have regret, you have isolation, you have frustration, you have tension. Those are things that can easily become somewhat of the norm if we're not careful. And so, but yet that's the subtle drift that can sabotage a marriage and a family very quick.
Yeah, disappointments and all the distractions that you're talking about, and really even dysfunction that we bring into our marriages that we really maybe didn't know or work out before we got married.
Absolutely.
You know, with me being the oldest of four girls and Rodney being the youngest of four boys, that was an interesting combination, you know, and we had to figure that out quick.
Very quickly. I mean, that's like totally opposites. Like, he had no idea what estrogen was, his poor mother. And then you're like, what's testosterone? I mean, I know you got a little bit of everything, but you guys are like totally on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That old classic book, His Needs, Her Needs. I was like, well, I didn't know she had needs.
Yeah, you did know that you wanted her.
Mother didn't tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. I let you know real quick. We got it worked out quick.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I'm sure, Michelle, you got him into the yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Yes.
Yeah. We do joke about this, though, a lot and laugh. And that does kind of make light of the situation. But it's mm-hmm. so sad that now we're almost 2 out of every 3 marriages are ending in divorce. I mean, whatever statistic you want to pull from, it doesn't fare good on the side of getting married. And right. some people would say, well, why would you want to get married if I have to keep working so hard? For the one who's sitting there going, I'm thinking of getting married, but I'm really not sure if marriage is for me. What would you tell them when they're questioning, I don't know that I could handle a drift if I was found in that situation?
Well, I think coming back to our book, we talk about the shift. And really, I think I would encourage that person just to start with the end in mind. You know, what is it that you dream? What is your preferred future? You can do that. You can do that. It takes work, you know, to get there. It takes doing some of the things that we talk about in this book. But it can happen. There are great marriages out there. It's just a matter of, you know, commitment on both people's part and how hard you're going to work at it and, you know, commit to it.
What's interesting, you were throwing out some stats, and, you know, one of the fastest growing trends of divorce today are those over 50. Mm-hmm. And so these are couples that are on the other end of the pendulum. So they've already raised their kids. They're maybe empty nesters. And now all of a sudden, they're finding themselves contemplating whether they want to stay together. And so here's a classic example of a lot of times it goes back to what Michelle just emphasized, and it's starting with the end in mind. And so what is your intended purpose? And so is the purpose revolving around your career or your kids? Is that what's bringing you together? Or is your intended purpose to serve God and to serve each other? And to focus on building a legacy rather than building memories.
Very good point. And you guys are going to all want to pick up your own copy of Family Shift, the 5-step plan to stop drifting and start living with greater intention. Well, Rodney, you had mentioned the 5 warning signs. And if the listener didn't catch it, it spells the word drift. And I know they're going to figure that out because they're going to pick up your book. And you actually break it down into 5 kind of sections. And those 5 sections really, you know, you break down then within those 5 sections, the 5 steps here. There are many things that we go through in life. Some things come out of, you know, out of the blue and they shake your foundation. You all faced an unexpected medical challenge in your family. It was with your son, Luke. If you would you share a little bit of that story and how you all made the shift as a family together?
Our son, Luke, he's 19 years old now, but when he was 7.5 years old, he was playing baseball and just having the time of his life. And he came home from practice one day and he was just complaining about his knee hurting. He said he got hit by a ball. And long story short, we found out that he had a hip disease. And it was devastating to us. And when we realized the treatment for this disease for him was to be put in a wheelchair. And we thought it was going to be like a year that he would be in the wheelchair, and it ended up being 2.5 years.
it was something that we never anticipated, never expected, that we would have something like that happen in our lives. But it brought out so much good. You know, it was difficult, but because of the things that he learned while sitting in the wheelchair, he picked up the guitar while he was in the wheelchair. And now he is an amazing musician, and so much good came out of the difficulty that we faced.
Yeah, and it just, what it did, it helped our family work through adversity. It helped us take the focus off of our circumstances and put the focus on each other, because, you know, we were in a situation that we all had to adjust. We had to adapt. And so it taught us so much as a family, really, to serve one another, to figure out what can we do to take a negative and turn it into a positive. And what it did is it helped our children, especially our son Luke, really see life from a different perspective. So now, you know, our kids and really us as a family, we had a deeper sense of really compassion for other people.
Yeah.
Because our kids now could relate to what they were going through. They were far more sensitive to other kids' situations and hardships that they, you know, went through. And so because of what they were walking through, they were able to encourage others in their own challenges. So it really just helped us grow. It stretched us in so many different ways as a family.
Well, like you were saying earlier, that sometimes a drift comes in and it's very subtle. And it doesn't like sneak up on you, and it doesn't come in like necessarily a roaring lion that says, "Roar, here I am. I'm going to destroy your marriage. I'm going to destroy your family." It doesn't come in like that. But at the same token, neither does the shift. The shift doesn't happen overnight either. Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting how we think that when we're in the situation, we believe that it just happened overnight.
Yeah.
How can we begin to shift our minds and really open up our eyes to a different mindset where we know that God truly is in control, and we can then take that next step to keep moving forward and not moving backwards?
Yeah, I think it's just building our life on that firm foundation of the Word of God, and just reminding ourselves daily of the truth of His Word. You know, like I mentioned earlier, it's the voice that we choose to listen to. There's many voices out there, but there's only one true voice that we can build our life upon. And just reminding ourselves that, you know, He's working all things together for my good. And I am, you know, a daughter of the King. I'm a masterpiece, and He has a purpose and a plan for my life. And no matter what the challenge is, He's working it together to fulfill a greater purpose, and so that I can make an impact with my life. And, you know, just reminding ourselves of that daily. I like to do that in the morning, just reminding myself that this is the truth. I might face some challenges today, but this is the truth that I'm going to stand on.
Well, I love that you all wrote in your book about mission and vision statements. And people would think that mission and vision statements go with businesses.
Right.
You can go onto the website and Google whatever, Chick-fil-A, whatever your favorite is, Lowe's, Home Depot, you know, Walmart, whatever. And they've got somewhere a mission and a vision statement there that you can read. But you guys talk about how important it is for a family. Why?
Well, the reason why is because every family ends up somewhere, but few families end up somewhere on purpose. So, and I love the old quote by the great Zig Ziglar. He said, it's just as hard to reach a destination you don't have as it is to come back from a place you've never been. And so at some point, you got to know where you're going as a family. You got to know where you're going in your marriage relationship. And that's the first shift we talk about in the book. It's really a shift in direction. So if you're going to make a shift in direction, and you may find yourself maybe going in the opposite direction. You're going in a direction you never thought you would go. And, you know, half the battle is just realizing you're not going in the right direction.
Right.
But once you realize that, okay, well, now you have an opportunity. You have a choice. So I'm even convinced, I don't care if you've been married for 10 minutes or 10 years, it's never too late to start making those kinds of shifts. And it's never too late to start doing the right thing. it's never too late to sit down and say, okay, if we had it all over to do again, what would we do different? Who would we become? How would we go about doing it? And so I just believe in any, when you even think about it in corporate America, when you have mergers, when you have buyouts, and you have maybe a new president, new CEO, new manager, somebody comes in, well, a lot of times the first thing they're going to do is they're going to push reset, and they're going to reestablish and reaffirm, okay, what is our mission? What is our vision? What are our values? Why do we exist as an organization or as a company? Well, why, if it's important to them, how much more is it important to the most important institution ever created by God? And that's the marriage. That was the first institution created, was the marriage. And so if vision and mission is important to corporate America, how much more is it important to a husband and a wife, so they know where they're going, they know how they're going to get there, and together they're going to work towards moving in a direction that is unified. Because if a couple is not unified around that mission and that vision of who they want to become, then they're going to be vulnerable to drifting to the things of this world and all the distractions that come with it. So you got to be really intentional about your mission and your vision as a family and as a couple in order to survive.
Well, how would you begin to even craft a mission or a vision? Just one thing, if you got a family that says, oh, okay, well, maybe this would help if we could all get on the same page.
Right.
How would you take that first step, just that little baby step?
I think it depends on where maybe the couple or the family is as far as in their season. So, for example, you may be a young couple that's engaged, thinking about getting, you know, you're in the process of getting married. I've done hundreds of weddings in the last however many years. Goodness, I've been doing it for a long time. But I always tell couples all the time, hey, spend more time preparing for your marriage as opposed to planning your marriage.
Your wedding.
Yes, your wedding, I should say, yes. Planning your marriage as you do planning your wedding.
Yeah.
And so I think what happens is that you take a young couple, you take maybe a young set of parents who have small children. Well, their children may not be of the age to be able to vocalize some things, but I think it's important for at least it to start in the heart of the husband and the wife, the couple, and then let them have those, let them just have a blue sky opportunity where they just talk about, and it's not so much what each other is going to do in the marriage, the roles, it's more about who do we want to become as a husband and wife. We like to say, hey, focus on the who before do. So who do I want to become as a husband? Who does she want to be as a wife? Mm-hmm. Who do we want to be as parents? And then once you define who you want to become, then you can start figuring out, okay, how are we going to get there? So I think it really just comes down to taking some time. It could be a date night. It could just be, you know, gathering one evening. Or it could be going out to coffee. You know, just pick your spot, pick your time. But talk about those things. And then once you articulate those things, then I think it's important that you transfer those thoughts onto paper. It's like the old saying, you know, thoughts on your lips have to be transferred through pencil tips. So write it down. Just, you know, capture what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you desire, and then take it from there and let that really form into maybe a sentence that really epitomizes who you want to become and what you are all about as a couple and as a family.
Yes, the book also kind of helps guide you through that. And also you can visit familyshift.com as well for some really helpful resources when it comes to your vision and your mission statement.
But we'll be sure to have that information on the show notes, because I know they're all going to want to pick up their own copy of Family Shift, the 5-step plan to stop drifting and start living with greater intention. Well, Rodney, you had mentioned that you have married hundreds of couples. You guys, as a unit together, as a couple, a power couple, if I may say, have coached couples too. What do you see the most common challenge in marriage?
I think it's being unified. If I could put it in one word, it's what I hear a lot from couples who are really struggling. And it's because they have different perspectives and they bring different opinions about, you know, And a lot of times they're focused on roles. Once again, they're focused on, it's the expectations and the roles of, this is what I'm expecting of you to do. And so what happens is that when we're focused on roles and the expectations of one another, it doesn't matter whether it's how we, you know, discipline our children, how we spend money, you know, what we do with our time, all of a sudden those things can create division and can create conflict. And so I think being unified, just getting on the same page, as you mentioned earlier, I think that's half the battle for a lot of busy parents, families that have so much going. We talk to a lot of families, to be honest with you, I'm just amazed at how much time and energy and money is spent on all of the extracurriculars, travel ball, on the weekends, cheer competitions, gymnastics. I mean, you go on and on and on. And it's like two ships passing in the night a lot of times. And so you've got parents who are spread so thin, they're going all over the place. And so that in and of itself causes drift. That in and of itself causes a lot of stress because, you know, they're having to divide and conquer just to get three kids at three different places all at the same time. And so, you know, it becomes a juggling act, and that in and of itself can take its toll on a lot of marriages and families.
Wow. Okay, I'm taking lots of notes here, and I know everybody else is too, because there is so much work in marriage, but there's also a lot of work in parenting. So, because I know you guys, you know, you just got rid of your last one. Oh, did I say that out loud? Come on, the celebration has to be happening, right? So parenting has many challenges, right? But it also has many celebrations. When your child is beginning to drift, and I know as a mom, I mean, it just rips the heart out from the chest for a mom. I know dads, I know you feel bad too, but it's something about the mom. It's like you lose half of yourself when your child is drifting.
Right.
What can be done to kind of either pull the child back in or to help yourself when you find yourself in this situation?
I think it is just going back to, you know, your vision and your mission for your family and holding to the core values that you've decided that are going to be a part of your family. And no matter what that child is going through, I know there's different ages and different circumstances, but, you know, no matter what, like when we had one of our girls with her, she was making some choices that were outside of what our vision and our mission was as a family and outside of our core values. And it was a really, like you said, it's a really hard time for a mother that, you know, I've poured this into my child, that I've taught her these things. Why is she choosing otherwise? I you know, you don't understand. What did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. God's created us to have a choice. And with that choice, we make, you know, wrong and right decisions. And as a mother, I think just remembering who you are, you know, and who God's called you to be, and you cannot control things. That's one thing in life. We can't control anything except our choice and our heart and our attitude. That's the only thing we can control. Control what we pour into our children, and we can control when they're in our home the choices that we decide and the boundaries that we decide for them. But ultimately, when they're out of our home, the choices that they make are their choices, and we trust God with them. So we can't ever allow our self-worth to be based on what our children decide to do. Our self-worth is based on Christ and what he did for us, and that we have to stand strong in that and remember that, and just pray every day, praying for our kids. You know, I'm still praying for our kids.
So for you all personally, what shift can you celebrate where you look back and maybe at the season that you were in, you were like, I don't know if I'm going to get through it. But in looking back, you were like, yes, we did it right. And that was awesome.
I think just making the hard call, like, you know, if a child is dating somebody or is being pursued by somebody that is not within, you know, we love all people, but not all the guys or that our girls dated were exactly what fit into the mission and vision and values that we had established for our home. And just holding tight to that and knowing that our kids may not always like us. We don't have to be their best friend when we're raising them. You know, it's okay. And I think choosing those things and deciding that up front and knowing what we wanted in the end was more important than what we would experience in the middle, because the middle sometimes can be messy and challenging. But knowing in the end we had a goal, and so we decided to cut off relationships, shut off cell phones, you know, do the hard things that, you know, either you're willing to do it and decide that it's worth it in the end, or you're going to give in and let them go their way. But I think that those are some of the things that we did that brought great results for us in the end. But it wasn't easy in the middle, for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been said, leadership is about taking people where they need to go,
right?
Not where they necessarily want to go.
Right.
And the same principle holds true in parenting and raising your children. And it is leading your children and taking them to a place that they need to go, not necessarily where they want to go. And yeah, that becomes really difficult when the pressure is on and your child suddenly can't go somewhere when all the other kids are going, right, and all the other kids said it was okay.
Yeah.
But we have to be the bad guy and say, well, that's great that all the other kids are going, and that's great that all the other parents are saying it's awesome, but that's not how we roll.
Yeah.
That's not what we're going to do. And so there were some slam doors and moments of meltdowns in the home, but you know what? We stuck by what we knew they needed to do, not necessarily what they wanted to do. And so that just helped our kids, tried to help them understand the why behind the what. So that's something that we look back on, too, to answer your original question. I think we can say with some reward or gratification that we really helped our kids understand the why behind the what on everything that we tried to help navigate them through.
Wow.
Well, I know y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Family Shift, the 5-step plan to stop drifting and start living with greater intention. For the person who's listening right now at the sound of your all's voice, what can the mom or dad do to begin to make the shift to start living with greater intention and to stop drifting?
Let me answer that. You want to answer?
Go for it. Go for it.
So here, in a nutshell, I would really encourage any family to ask themselves the question, first and foremost, who do we want to be as a couple? Who do we want to be as a family? And let that be the foundational, really starting point for where they are, not for where they've been, but for where they are today. Because you can't go back and undo what's already been done. You can't go back and change the past. And so we have to start with where we are today. And so, okay, moving forward, starting today, who do we want to become? And then, okay, what can we do to help us get there? And so in the book, we identify the how-tos. So the how-tos are broken down into 5 shifts. So it's a shift in direction. It's a shift in what we call focus. So that's where we unpack a whole values aspect of it all. So then you have not just a shift of direction of focus, but then you also have the 3rd shift, which is the shift of motivation. So there's a lot of things just in that chapter alone that will help fuel their passion, will help fuel their direction, that will help reinforce a lot of things.
That's one of my favorite chapters.
And that's the 4th yeah. shift. The 4th shift is in the area of reinforcement. So that's yeah. all about the right relationships and friendships, because yeah. That's a deal maker or breaker for our kids. And then the last shift is the shift in purpose. And so that's really comes down to really fulfilling where you started with the end in mind. And that is, again, we're leaving a legacy. And so the only way we can do that is to be intentional in everything that you do. Because if you're not intentional, then unfortunately you're going to allow life to pass you by. You're going to get so caught up and distracted by all the different responsibilities and things that we have out there that can that compete for our time and attention, and then you're going to live with regrets. So we just want to encourage parents, hey, or couples, just start where you are today and just ask yourself the question, who do we ultimately want to become? And we want our kids, when they start having kids and you know, they're doing, you know, their mom and dad thing, we want to be the place where they want to come home to. We want to be the people they want to be around. We want them pursuing us because they don't, it's not because they have to be around us, it's because they want to be around us. They want to be around us because of the relationships that we have, you know, that we have established in our relationship with one another as a family. So we just want to be healthy and have those relationships that thrive where there's great joy and fulfillment in our relationships.
That is so beautiful. Well, I've got to give a teaser too. For those who like personality, we're not going to talk about it. But in here, you have a full page here that's just about, let's say, Ninja Mastermind. There's three others. But yeah, you're going to want to kind of go through that and see what you are. Are you the ninja? Are you the mastermind? There's a few others. Yeah, have fun with that. I think it'll be awesome. People are going to want to connect with you all, Pastor Rodney and Pastor Michelle. Where can they find you?
Yes. Well, they can simply go to familyship.com, but they can go, if you want to get a copy of the book, they can go to any online retailer. They're available in anywhere books are sold. But one of the things that we're really excited about is we put together really just a list of complimentary resources. So, for example, Michelle and I put together a 6-part video series that is a companion to the book. And it's a great way for it, really the videos were designed to be conversation starters. So we give a brief overview of each chapter. And then from there, whether it's a couple going through it or whether they're going through it individually or maybe in a small group environment with other couples, those are resources that are available on familyship.com. We have a 6-day devotional where we break down the different shifts. So we have also these little gratitude cards that we've put together that
those are great for moms to write notes to their kids, drop them in their lunch pail or write it to your husband or send it on a trip, little gratitude cards with quotes and encouraging words on them. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And there's also a little workbook that we put together. So the workbook is also an opportunity where couples can work through the things we've talked about earlier, like your vision statement, your mission statement, identifying your core values. So there's places for them to actually write that out. We give them some instructions on what to do and how to do it. And so it's a great tool as well. So all of those things are available at familyship.com. And if they pre-order the book, well, they get those resources for free. So, yeah, so that's it's right. A great opportunity if they want to take advantage of that.
You can also follow us on social media, just Rodney Gage at Instagram or on Instagram and Facebook, and then Michelle Gage at the same. Also, Family Shift has a Facebook and Instagram account too.
Wow, a lot of places for us to get to connected and to be grounded and really to build that foundation, not only in our marriage, but in our families. And that family may be a couple. It may be a couple with dogs and cats. It may be, who knows? I just love what you all are doing. I love your heart. And I can really sense that in your writing, that you really want to reach the everyday person out there in marriage that's saying, oh my gosh, I'm ready just to throw in the towel and quit. And you're like, no. You don't have to drift. You just got to make a shift with greater intention.
That's right.
Yes, that's our heart. And we pray that God will take this message and really bring a lot of hope and healing and encouragement to a lot of families who just feel defeated or overwhelmed or even intimidated by so many different things that's competing, you know, with their time and their attention. Hopefully this will just bring a greater sense of clarity and will really give them a new sense of focus on how to really experience and achieve the desires of their hearts.
It's really back to the basics, you know, just living with intention.
Amen, amen. Well, before I let you go, this series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
You want me to answer that?
Sure.
We both can answer it.
Yeah, we can both answer it.
Okay. Well, our story, I think, has gifted us in the area of just understanding how to relate to the difficulties that a lot of people are facing, and how to help them navigate through their own difficulties and challenges. Because we've all been there. We've all faced different challenges. We've all faced setbacks. However, yeah, I like to say it this way. We are a product of our past, but we're not a prisoner of our past. So we have the opportunity to move forward in a new sense of freedom and confidence, regardless of what we've been through, what kind of struggles we've faced. So God takes all the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, and uses it for us to grow and to become who He'd created us to be and to reach our full potential.
That's right. Yeah. And for moms to be encouraged that, you know, maybe your child's going through a physical challenge. Maybe they're going through an emotional challenge right now. No matter what they're facing, that you can do it. I think our strength, our story is we've been through it. We've been through it. We've walked through it, and we're survivors and we're thriving, and you can do it as well. Every story's different. I'm thankful for the story we have. There's been all kinds of ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster ride of a life, which has been awesome. We've loved it. We've loved it. Some of the challenges were difficult, and I'm sure there'll be more. But it's taught us so much, and we've grown so much out of it. And I think that is our strength. It's our story. I love that.
And just to maybe wrap this up and to say in addition to what triggered my thoughts as Michelle was talking about that is when you think about your, I love the way you phrase that question, because when you think about our story, we all have the opportunity to write our story. And I think at some point we have to give the pen to God and allow God to help us write our story. Because if we try to write our own story, it's going to be messy. It'll be a horror story. But if we let God help us write the story, well, the good news is that yesterday ended last night, and so therefore today's pages are blank. So we have opportunity to begin again. God's mercies are fresh and new each and every day. So no matter what happened yesterday, what kind of mistakes we've made, we can start today. And allow it, just continue the story. We're just turning the page. We're just starting a new chapter. And we're just building on that and learning from yesterday and building our tomorrow.
Amen. What a beautiful story. You all are a power couple, and I cannot wait to see what God has in store for your story and your book. Many blessings.
Thank you so much, Christiane.
It's a privilege.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.